Spirit is God. The Prokimen in the second tone. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
With chastisement hath the Lord chastened me, but he hath not given me over unto death.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
The saints shall boast in glory, and they shall rejoice upon the bed.
The Lord. At that time a certain man came unto Jesus and asked, saying, Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus saith unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he saith unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the Lord said unto his disciple, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my greatest sins that I'm sure Matushka will share with you is that I have many, many books and I never have time to read them. So they accumulate on my bedside table in vast piles, much to the annoyance of my lovely wife. And of course, when I have visitors like Deacon Andre, who came from New York 2 weeks ago, he gave me a lovely new present, another book, for me to put on the pile and to read just bits of before I fall asleep. And the book that he brought me was a beautiful book which Jordanville has just published, which is on the theory behind Holy Russia and how it was a patriotic theme of the end of the Tsar's reign, how orthodoxy and patriotism were entwined together. And on it, in the book, there's a little chapter about the Tsar's last few years in power. And there is a photograph of the Tsar standing on the balcony in the Winter Palace. And if any of you have been watching Tolstoy that is on the television at the moment, you'll see how huge that Winter Palace is. It just goes on and on and on and on. You'd need a very wide-angled lens to be able to take in a photograph of the whole of the facade of the Winter Palace. And the photograph is of the Tsar in 1914, standing on a little balcony in the middle of the Winter Palace. And in front of him are all his army. And they are all gathered in front of the Winter Palace, as usual, officers at the front. And the Tsar is reading the declaration of war for the First World War. And as he completes it, he's just a lonely figure on a balcony. And as he completes his declaration of war, so led by the officers at the front, the whole army kneel before the Tsar. And they sing what we sing in the liturgy. O Lord, save thy people, spase Bože, lyudi tvoja, I blagoslovi dostojanje tvoje. O Lord, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. So the whole of the Tsar's army sang this amazing song in front of the Winter Palace as he announced that the nation was going to war. I've also been reading, because I try to sometimes do my best to read the scriptures. And I've been reading the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, which is a very beautiful, very, very beautiful epistle, and one which we should turn to quite often, I think. And in the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, I had saw this verse, which had never struck me in quite the same way as I just put down the book about Holy Russia and picked up my Bible. And what St. Paul says in the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians in the third chapter, in verse 16, he says that you must sing with grace in your hearts. Sing with grace in your hearts. What a beautiful expression. And it really struck me that the Tsar had been on his little balcony and declared war, and the army had all sung the great hymn, O Lord, save thy people. And at that time, I know that some of it must have been insincere, for those same soldiers turned in mutiny in 1917 against their officers, and those same soldiers led the revolution. But nevertheless, at that time, in sincerity, I think, the people knelt before their Tsar and they sang the great hymn, O Lord, save thy people. Something was good in their hearts at that time. Something was pure in their hearts at that moment. Now, what are we? What are our hearts like that? Like now? Do we have the songs of the church in our hearts? Or do we have all those terrible influences that come into our innermost being? When I was a boy, I went to a very Protestant boarding school, and they didn't do things properly, unlike my father. And so when I went to the Holy Communion, there in that very Protestant place, they didn't sing any parts of the Mass at all. Everything was said. And I wrote to my father and said, Dad, they don't even sing the Lord's Prayer. And what my father wrote back to me was, Reverend, keep the Lord's Prayer singing in your heart. And actually, I've always had that. Strangely enough, sometimes it's in the plain chant, sometimes it's in the Russian chant, but I go back to that piece of advice. Our hearts should be places of purity and places of love. places of encounter with God. St. Paul says to try to keep the song of grace in our hearts. It's very good advice. It's very sound advice when there is so much that can destroy and pollute our hearts. So choose a song from the Divine Liturgy. Choose a song that we sing Sunday after Sunday, be it the Trisagion, be it the Cherubicon, whatever it be, and let it rest and sing and resound in our hearts. For it will counteract impurity. It will counteract secularism. It will counteract sin. For the more we sing in our hearts, the more beautiful as people we will become. The Saviour in the Gospel says today, "Let your light so shine upon earth that men may see your good works." The way to make that light shine even brighter is actually to have a singing, grace-filled heart. So choose a song from the liturgy, perhaps the Lord's Prayer, perhaps the Creed, perhaps the Cherubicon, perhaps the Trisagion, and let it sing in your hearts and resound, so that actually your innermost being becomes as beautiful as the Divine Liturgy, and it will become a place of encounter between you and God, and actually between other people and God through your goodness. May God bless us and keep us in his love and keep our hearts singing and shining. Amen.